Welcome to the SWP. It's brought to you by Jim K. Ford and the Glenn Walton Real Estate Team. And coming up today, we'll talk about the British Open, the Ottawa Red Blacks. Twitter is called X now. What? And Jimmy's up in Sudbury joining us live from Suds. It's all coming up today here on the SWP.
Looking for a vehicle that's environmentally friendly and fun? Look no further than the Ford Mustang Mach-E, available now at Jim K. Ford. This electric car will have you laughing all the way to the bank with savings on gas and maintenance costs without giving up excitement and performance. And with zero emissions, you can finally breathe easy, literally. So if you want a car that's as exhilarating as it is eco-friendly, come down to Jim K. Ford today and take a spin in one of our Mach-E's today. Visit us online at jimkford.com.
At Jim K. Ford Lincoln, we say yes!
How are you, Stevie?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good, Stevie. I'm back playing golf. I'm up in Sudbury. I came for my big tournament, and I haven't played much golf, Stevie. I'd only played 11 holes up to this week, this year, and I didn't play a bunch last year. Remember, I had the big accident there, effed up my shoulder. But I'll tell you what, Steve, it didn't show at all.
Is that sarcasm, okay. I'm thinking?
Are you ready? Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. 87, okay, on Friday. So it's sort of the first game of golf I've played.
Not horrible.
Not horrible. 87, 103 the next day.
Oh, my God.
Okay, Steve, I haven't shot 100 since I was 7, okay? So I said, well, I got that out of the way. I got the 103 out of the way. I'll be fine tomorrow. 101, Steve, the third day.
Jeez. Is there no cut in this thing?
Yeah, there's well, I used to make the top 16, Steve, okay, which you had to shoot, like, back in my day, the you had to shoot 76 or better to make the top 16. The field is really good. You had to shoot 72 to try and make the top 16, which is par. Wow. But really good amateur players, and it's field is thick, lots of action, great tournament. It's 75 years they've done it, and I go back every year. It's a match play tournament, and unless you shoot, you're not playing matches, Stevie. If you're not breaking 80, that was the cutoff to make the final match play flight. Yeah. But anyway, had a guess. Yeah, my brother was hilarious, saying, "What is wrong with you?" Yeah. And well, then he punched me in the head. No, that was a while ago. Yeah, no, he didn't do that. So
I got a golf game in last week with a couple of the old Tigor classes.
I saw that. Yes.
You did? How did you see that? Oh, again, Marco with a cape put a photo out? Yeah.
Marco said, "Do you recognize any of these guys?" I said, "No." And then I realized it was,
it was those old geezers.
Yeah. How's your golf game?
Oh, it's hit and miss. But I'm happy if I break 90 now.
Yep. Okay. Well, there you
but
go.
But right. Anywhere between, I would say anywhere between low 80s and low 90s. That's pretty much consistent at this stage in my life. Yeah. But good enough that I enjoy the game. And like you, every once in a while, I'll throw an X on the card just so I just have to put it in. Yeah. I'm not really taking it very seriously anymore, but... right now, you're outside right now. Is this the first time you've been outside for a podcast?
I'm not outside.
Oh, it looks like you're outside on a porch or something.
Well, I'll tell you why. Those are actually sliding glass doors, Steve, that separate a living room into two spots.
Wow, swishy.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so they were glass doors. There's whatever's on there. I don't know. What do you call it? That's on there, melamine or something, you know, that covers the windows.
Sure.
So, but I'm inside.
Okay, good. Because I was thinking,
weather was great.
Right about now, we're recording this about 9:20 in the evening, and you're in the East time zone, obviously.
I'm in Sudbury still. Yep.
Yep. Bugs would be carrying you away right now.
A little. Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah. Like, fuck off with the bugs.
Yeah. We had the big Canadian tour event that happened here, and great event. Congratulations to the organizers. It was really well run. And Eagle
Where
Creek
was it played?
EG Golf. It was Eagle Creek.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I remember those.
They had some, this was a mosquito year. This is, the course is in great shape. And Stuart McDonald was your winner and a great event. But the big golf story, obviously, is the British Open. And shockingly, it was a blowout. One guy ran away with it all. So you're saying, who was it? Was it Rory? Mm-hmm. Was it John Rahm? No, it was Brian Harman, of all people, who's been plugging away on the PGA Tour for quite a long time. Always been a good player, but finally broke through this past weekend.
Yeah, I obviously love golf. I've been watching the PGA Tour for years, and he's a household name because he's been out there for so long. He's played well. He's always, it's not uncommon for him to be in the hunt. It's not like you flip it on over the years and go, oh no, who's that guy? He's a left-hander, American guy. But I saw a little post interview with the guy, and I had to go back and rewatch it. It was like a little Twitter or TikTok thing. So it's not.
Is it the heckler?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've got it here. You want to hear it?
No, let's. Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. Here we go.
After I made the second bogey yesterday, a guy, when I was passing him, he said, Harmon, you don't have the stones for this. That helped.
That was the motivation?
Yeah, that helped a lot. That helped. I mean, it just helped snap me back in, like, you know, that I'm good enough to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to go through my process, and the next shot's going to be good.
So it was a case of trying to prove any doubt was wrong.
You know, I'm not going to give that guy anymore. I shouldn't have given him credit right there.
That's Brian Harman on a heckler inspiring him, James.
Yeah. Yeah, usually it's, if you do that at a golf tournament and they find you, you're out. You're out. You're not, you can't. It's not like going to a hockey game and you go, you suck, and you get to stay there. You do it on a golf course and you start to get flippant or sort of, a little cutting, a little funny. You want to do a zinger and all that stuff. You're gonzo. And it's at the player's discretion. You know, they can turn and go, that guy right there, I want him out. Right. Ooh. And they do it, they do it. You often see it. Actually, you often see it, but.
I think that would make me feel better as a golfer, Jim, to have that guy ejected than actually to go on and win the British Open.
Yeah, exactly. You get the ejection trophy.
I get to see the look in his eye rather than just winning the British Open. No big deal. Where's that guy?
Yeah.
I want to see the look in the whites of his eyes on him getting ejected because he's a jerk like Joe Flaherty and Happy Gilmore yelling at Happy through the whole thing. You jackass.
Well, and usually, right, it might be. The story could turn the other way going, like, who's the dink man who yelled at the guy and then he went for a shit, like he didn't play well the rest of the time. And that became a distraction. And so good for that guy. Good for that dude. It looked like, he used the word process that he's going to go through, whatever it is. But it looked like instead of doing that he kind of got it in his head that going, oh, yeah, okay. Okay, I'm going to do this, because we so often talk, right, Steve, that game of golf is so cruel.
Totally.
It's so cruel how often we say, what's happening with that guy? Where's Ricky Fowler? This was before this year, or where's so-and-so and so-and-so, right? And sometimes you'll hear people weigh in on that debate or that discourse and they'll say, easy now. Easy now. Just because the guy's not winning, it's like, like you start to whip off top 10s and top 20s consistently in the PGA Tour. Well, you're that good in the world,
Yeah.
You're like top 20 or 30 in the world. And so this guy to do that, I don't know his career, Steve. I don't know. You might be able to pull it up while I'm talking about it, but I suspect he's probably won, but I don't think in a long time.
He has won for sure. I can tell you that much. Yeah, not much though. You're right.
Yeah. I don't think he's won very much. And yet I think he's been, I don't know how old he is, but for sure he's got to be in his 30s. Would be my betting guess,
Yeah. He's 36 years of age. He's won three times on the PGA Tour, once on the European Tour, and twice on smaller tours. He once tied for second at the U.S. Open in 2017. He's been top 15 before in both the Masters and the PGA Championship. So a real nice player, but no one saw this coming. I think we can say that.
I'll tell you why else, Steve. Look at I don't know if you pulled him up on Wikipedia. Mm-hmm. Does it say his height?
Yeah, he's 5'7". I knew that, though.
Yeah, 5'7". Kind of like you, Warrensy. That's what you are,
no,
right?
No, no, no.
5'6"?
5'9" and a half.
Okay. So you're a shorty, right? You've always said I'm short, right? You've always said I'm short. So
no, I haven't. I'm
this
average.
Guy's 2.5
inches. 5'8" is the national average.
Yeah. So this guy is 2.5 inches shorter than you are. Okay. And if you look at your quintessential athlete, you know, and golfer today, I don't know. Let's look at Dustin Johnson. Okay. My favorite. That guy's like 6'4". He's got about a 90-foot wingspan. You know, he's got a club head speed of a jillion miles an hour, right? And can rip it, rip it. They can carry it 310 now, you know, and roll out to 330, 340. You know, I think of Theo Fleury and Dennis Savard, right? With this, you'll never make it in this game. You're too small. And I don't know how far, Brian, I don't know what his stats are, but for to look at a guy who's 5'7", you know, this isn't the day of Ian Woosnam anymore, Steve. Okay, this is the day of the giant athlete, fit, you know, big. I mean, Harmon would have the same equipment, but fit, strong, you know, wide, big arcs with golf swings, and absolutely, you know, disintegrating the cover of the golf ball, right? Anyway, so there's that angle too for this guy to pull it off. But you know what, yeah. Stevie? If a short guy was ever going to win a major, I would always pick the British because you get so much rollout.
Right.
So the fact you hit it 300 and I hit it 278 or something, that's doesn't matter anymore. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, I think that's why it lends itself to surprising results, right? The Todd Hamilton, the Ben Curtis effect, and to some degree, Brian Harmon. Now, again, no one saw that one coming.
Right, exactly. So way to go, man. And yeah. A great story, right, Steve, when a guy busts through after the grind, after doing the grind for so long.
Yeah,
so.
And there's lots of sideline stories. Like you mentioned his height. Like, I don't know who the D-bag was at the RNA that after this thing is over, he's your champion. They set him up with a chair that made him look like he was a 6-year-old who climbed into his dad's office chair.
Oh, no.
A big high back chair, and he's way low. And they even had the camera framing. If you check it out, the camera framing was like he's way low in the TV frame, making him look all the shorter. So they didn't really do him any favors there, that's for sure. And there was certainly. Yeah, yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, you know, I was talking this weekend, right? It's all golf all the time. And I was talking to a couple of the really good young players who are competitive, who are playing in the Canadian amateur and playing the Ontario Am and Mid Am and all that stuff. And, you know, this kid made a good point about the sport of golf because he's a competitive squash player as well. And he's 38 years old. And obviously, you know, an unbelievable athlete, okay, that this kid is. Joel Clark is his name. And you know, he was saying the problem is his squash ability, you know, because squash is a pure running game, right? It's got the hand eye, I get it, but it's all about running and speed and reflexes, you know, and all that stuff. And he said, I will only get worse as I grow older at squash. Okay. And you just don't because you start to lose your speed, you know, as you get older. But he said with golf, man, he made championship flight, this kid, but he lost his first round. But he said, I'm not discouraged by that because I can get better as I get older at golf. You know, it's not the end when maybe you get drilled at 30 or 35 years old when you're trying to compete either as an amateur or a pro. You know, and this guy starts to note the great careers. You know, Phil, right? Phil won the PGA at 50, you know, at 50 years old. And so he said that's what the attraction is to golf for him, you know, that's not over because they tick another year off on the calendar, right? But
it's also the argument for guys like Russ Courtney who say that it's not a sport.
Right. Right.
So. Now, Harmon also had a funny line in that he was asked by the good British media about what he was going to do. Like some athletes are going to Disney World.
Right.
And well, Brian Harmon had a different spin on how he was going to celebrate winning the British Open.
I did. I had a nice week a couple weeks ago, and I bought a new tractor for my hunting place. So I'll get home, and I'll be on the tractor mowing grass into next week. I'll be very excited about that.
So that's going to be your reward. You're going to ride your tractor.
yeah, I might take a whole day and just put my phone away and go get on the tractor.
I'm a little bit lost because I've never known an Open champion celebrate by mowing grass on a tractor.
It's I got a lot of layers, man. I'm like an onion. It's a 105 horse Kubota tractor, and it's going to be a pretty one. I haven't told my wife how much I spent on it. So.
If I win $3 million and I'm the British Open champion, I might announce something. I'm never cutting grass again. Good for Brian Harman, though. That's good.
He sounds like a Deep South guy.
Like, yeah, he's very much, very much into all the, you know, the outdoor stuff. Big time, you know, game hunter. And yeah, definitely into all that stuff for sure. Looks like a good old boy, redneck sort of a fella. And like he said, he's like an onion with many layers. He is also the best golfer in the world right now.
Yeah, good for him. Good for him. Yeah. Nice story, man. Nice story. Yeah,
for sure. Moving on.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've been following this this story over the last couple of weeks where, I mean, Lionel Messi, maybe the best, certainly the maybe the most famous soccer player in the world, ends up in Major League Soccer, signing on with Miami. What do they call him? Miami... Inter Miami, they're called. They're the worst team in Major League Soccer. And so he goes and signs with them. Going to be doing pretty well for the next 2.5 seasons because they're in the middle of the season right now. He's going to get between $50 million and $60 million annually. And that would put the total value between $125 or $150 million in cash alone. David Beckham is actually Miami's co-owner. And he had all kinds of celebrities there. LeBron James was there, Kim Kardashian, a bunch of them. And so in his very first match, I don't know if you had a chance to see this a couple of nights ago. So in his very first match, he didn't play to start, but he came in at about the 50th minute because, well, he hasn't played any soccer since June. Mm-hmm. And so now he's not, you know, not in the best of shape yet. So he comes in at about the 50th minute. And with the match tied, he's got a free kick. And it looks like it's not at midfield or anything, but it's a long way out in the dying seconds. I think we're actually in injury time now. And so you're looking at it, there's no way. You know, it's messy. It would be amazing if he, you know, maybe put this into the middle and somebody headed it home. But this is what actually happened. Lionel Messi for the win.
Here it is. Messi!
There's a guy that turned down $1 billion to go play, I guess, somewhere in Saudi Arabia.
Not a billion.
No, he did. He absolutely did. I think France's Mbappe is toying with that idea right now. But so Messi comes over and they're all dressed in pink. Their uniforms are pink. I don't know if that's a third jersey, if that's the kit they normally wear. But I mean, talk about a flair for the dramatic. To do what he did, and it's going to be really interesting to see if that guy can take a team that's the worst in the league and elevate them at least a little bit.
I'm a little confused, Stevie. Was this like the free kick where the ball is just you and the goalie, and you run up and kick the ball?
No, it's a penalty kick.
Oh,
like I was saying, you're measuring it out. It wasn't at midfield. But it was a very, very long way out where you would not expect a guy to be able to score from there most times. But he just thundered that thing left corner. And in his first match, like, what else is this guy going to do in his career? What else?
Right.
What next?
Stevie, I thought when I heard the color guy commenting, if you go back and listen to it, if you're listening on the radio, Steve, I might need a little more from that guy, Steve.
Yeah, probably.
He goes like this. This is what I heard, Steve. Here it is. Messi! Okay, well, what did he do? Did he take a pass? Was there guys coming down on him? I mean, I need a little more, Steve, for my colleague.
Would you expect anything less? No, there was obviously a lot of... I tried to supply as much description leading into it, knowing full well that that was a TV call, but I think it gave you a sense of the excitement level, and I'm not a huge soccer guy. I like soccer a lot. You'd have to clone me a couple of times before I'd have time to follow it. But I thought that was a pretty amazing thing. I also thought the Red Blacks win the other night was pretty damn amazing. Mm. But We'll get to that in just a second. First, these words.
Introducing the future of driving with Ford electric vehicles, now available at Jim K. Ford. Say goodbye to gas stations and hello to efficiency with electric power that delivers a smooth and silent ride. With advanced technology and smart features, you'll experience a whole new level of convenience and connectivity. And with Ford's commitment to sustainability, you'll also be doing your part for the planet. So come on down to Jim K. Ford today and test drive the future with Ford EVs or visit us online at jimkford.com.
At Jim K. Ford Lincoln, we say yes!
And if you're looking to buy or sell your home, the Glenn Walton Real Estate team can certainly help. Glenn helped me sell a home a couple of years ago and did so much for us, including staging, which is crucial. He provided a great painter, a cleaner, and even bought new ceiling lights for us, all to make sure the home was looking its best on picture day. All part of his services. He can do the same for you. Visit the Glenn Walton Real Estate team at glennwalton.com. So the Red Blacks win again, James. So Jeremiah Masola gets hurt 2.5 games ago.
Right. Achilles,
and,
right?
Yeah, out for the year. And he was out for the year last year. And this is their big free agent signing. And everybody thought, oh, my God, the week before, their best backup, we'd learned, was going to be out for the season. He suffered an injury as well. I think he had a knee. Mm-hmm. And prior to that, the guy who started initially in place of Masola, Nick Arbuckle, was ineffective. And he was ineffective through most of the second half of last season, too. So you're thinking season over again after missing the playoffs 3 straight years in the same boat again. No quarterback. But there's this Dustin Crum, who's number 4 on the depth chart. And he came in last week. Unbelievable. They come back and they win it in overtime, beating the Winnipeg Blue Bombers 4-1. And then this week in Calgary, all of a sudden the offense just catches fire. They get 43 points. In an overtime win in Calgary, this was Rod Smith with a call on TSN.
This is for the win. Two-point convert nearly said touchdown. It amounts to the same regardless of the points for the Ottawa Redblacks. They go back to Bahar, and Ottawa has done it again.
So Dustin Crum. Yes. Engineers another victory for the Ottawa Red Blacks. And I can tell you the town's pretty excited all of a sudden to go from feeling like season over in week five to, hey, maybe they got something here.
To Rod second Smith. Place, Stevie, in the old Standaroos.
Yeah. Rod Smith there. We've all been there. He wanted to yell touchdown when in fact it was a 2-point convert. So, you know, the big play of the game kind of got mucked up, but you could tell the excitement was there. And Nate Bahar, who caught that 2-point convert, suddenly goes in front of the Calgary stands like this. I don't know what he was saying. I don't know if he's doing the Warriors. Can you dig it? Or maybe are you not entertained from, what was that, 300, I think it was? Anyway, he was doing a bit of chirping of the fans, but that was pretty exciting. So all of a sudden, a season that appeared lost is anew with excitement.
You could be living in my town, Steve, where no one ever thought there would be a day where the Edmonton Eskimos or Elks or whatever, that thing's rearing its ugly head again about the name. They were, you know how good they were, Steve. You've been a CFL fan since you were like 0, okay?
Yeah, I mean, it seemed like they were playing Montreal every year in the Grey Cup and Edmonton would win every year.
Right. Edmonton hasn't won a game yet this year. No one's going to the games. It's sort of just a fiasco in Edmonton. So,
well, did you see that? I don't know if we talked about it, but there was that one play. It's like 11-11 versus Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan kicks off in the dying moments of the game, and the Hammerhead is returning. I think it was Sims for the Elks. He lets the ball go over his head and into the end zone and concedes the game winning single.
Oh yes, yeah.
Oh, a rouge. I did see that. A rouge. How do you do that?
I know I did. Yeah. What's wrong with that, coach? Oh, not much.
Yeah. We don't have touchbacks.
Yeah.
No touchbacks.
That ended the game in a loss for us. That's all.
Yeah. No. I wonder.
Rules are pretty straightforward, Steve.
Yeah. And you'd think you'd run them by some of these new American players as they come in. If you're returning a kickoff, for example, and you're a rookie in the league, you may want to.
Yeah.
If you're running the special teams, you might want to tap that guy in the head. Hey, above all else, do not take a single here. Don't concede
if we're tied
a single
with five seconds to go.
Exactly. You must get that ball out. Instead, he lines up shallow and allows a kickoff to go over his head. And anyway, that's the kind of year it's been for the Edmonton Elks. So what say you? Maybe you've missed this news, James. I'm not sure if you have or not because you've been so busy in Sudbury and the Gulf and all that. Have you heard Twitter has changed its name to X?
No.
Yes. No. Twitter is no more as a name. It's now called Elon Musk woke up one day in the not so distant past and decided, you know what? The name Twitter has got to go. From now on, it will be X. And if we had a conversation 30 years ago, what would be the better social media name, Twitter or X? I'd probably say, yeah, okay, X. But we're all kind of used to Twitter now. In fact, they're even saying on the American version of Twitter, now X, that we can't say tweets anymore. The official name on X, you know, like, say, hey, I saw Jimmy's tweet the other day. Now it'll be, I saw Jimmy's zeet the other day.
Oh, no.
Yeah. X-E-E-T. No. Like, what are you doing?
Do you think he's insane a bit?
I think Elon? I think he does stuff to make people freak out.
I don't like him. I don't like him. Yeah.
$44 billion he paid for Twitter, and that was his game plan. You spent that much money on a product you so believed in that you're going to change it all around now. Who does that? This is new Coke all over again.
Well, there's going to be a fee, Steve, right? When are you going to have to start to pay for every tweet or what? Something like that's going to happen, right?
Yeah. Well, there's already been many changes. It seems to me there's more ads. It seems to me when I'm on Twitter, X, that on X, which is, of course, the street name for ecstasy. I don't know if that's... I'm on X, or Liam McGuire might want a Molson X. It's all going to be very confusing. Yes, it really
X-rated,
is.
X-rated, Steve.
Yeah, there you go. I was actually on my laptop today, and I'm looking at the tabs on the top.
Surfing porn.
No. Normally, you see a little blue bird indicating that's Twitter, right? What do they call those? They're called favicons. And normally, there's a little blue bird indicating you're on your tabs on Twitter. Now it's an X, and that was my first thought. Oh, my God, am I on some porn site or something? Anyway.
I have a question for you, Steve.
I was going to say, though, the difference now I'm seeing is that I'm actually getting notifications on my phone from Twitter from people I don't follow and have no interest in. Ding! What's this? Is this Jimmy? Maybe a funny tweet? No, it's just some guy that's been, I don't know, recommended for me. I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah. It is weird. Well, a couple things. one of the guys I was hanging around with this weekend, we started talking about gambling and all the gambling sites and all the gambling companies now that obviously are promoting sports gambling. This is a sports show, and how it's off the charts. Okay, certainly with the ads, but one of the issues was retired athletes promoting gambling. And he said they've all lost respect in his mind. They've lost his respect in his mind because they're all successful. They've all made a bunch of money and now they're doing what they're doing, right? These TV ads. So that's one issue, right? And I think there's something to say for that, Stevie. I think there is something to say for that. It's kind of like, you know, this just in, right? It's a massive addiction, right? Gambling. You've always said this, that it's left this kind of weird taste in your mouth. It's kind of like the guy said to me that it's the equivalent of a beer ad, right? Coming on and saying, drink as much beer as you possibly can every single night.
Well, I don't know if I go that far.
Or try all the different beers. Smoke a bunch of cigarettes, man.
Right.
You know, have fun. Get together with your friends so I don't know what you think of that. But here's the other issue, Stevie, that with the fun or whatever come the problems is Broncos. I don't know how you pronounce this guy's name. Yarzyuk? I don't know. Suspended indefinitely for gambling on games. right? An athlete. They suspended him on Monday for betting on league games during the 2022 season. Fourth round draft pick from Ohio State played in 8 games in the offseason. To be suspended for gambling on games or betting on other sports while in the NFL locker rooms, he was eligible for petition. So I don't, the money's so big, Stevie, right? I mean, imagine how much money now is gambled on sports with the promotion of it. You know, it's like, I just, something's going to happen. I just get this sort of feeling, the foreboding, Steve, about this thing. And I say, I got to ask Stevie boy what he thinks about it. We talk about it a little bit, but I wonder.
Well, I mean, I don't like that they've crossed the line. And it's not so much about the tone, because the tone is just, you know, like the alcohol ads, beer ads and things, please drink responsibly. They're saying, please gamble responsibly. Mm-hmm. It's not so much that part of it. It's unlike the alcohol ads that we all grew up with. And I still think that that's a large reason why beer and the sport of hockey go hand in hand. Like, there's just nobody between the age of 25 and 60 who plays in a beer. I mean, beer's in the freaking name of the league, for God's sake, in the beer leagues that, that, you know, the bulk of them don't like to go for a beer. So advertising works, this just in. What I don't like is the separation, or the lack thereof, with betting. With alcohol, it would be, we'll be right back after this. Here's the beer ad. Very clearly defined as a bit of marketing. Now it's part of the programming, and that's where I think it crosses the line. I, you know, if a gambling company wanted to advertise on this podcast, for example, I'd say great. But I'm not going to, in the middle of the show, like, turn it into programming. I just won't do that. And, well, maybe if the price is right. No, I'm kidding.
Right.
But that's where I think the difference is now. And I do think that the more you get in bed as a league with gambling, you know, Vegas used to be verboten, the idea of putting a pro franchise in Vegas for that reason. And that's just been obliterated now. We've got the Stanley Cup champions. We've got the Vegas Raiders. And so, I don't know. It's a slippery slope for sure. The more you get in bed with gambling, because there's so much money on the line with the outcome of your games. That Denver Broncos story, I suspect we'll hear that less and less of a rarity.
Yeah. Well, it's, yeah, there's 8 or 9 or 10 guys over the last little while, you know. I just fear match fixing, you know. I do. I fear some guy who, I don't know, maybe only makes $1 million a year, and someone comes to him and says, we'll give you half of this $40 million this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know, a kicker, Steve, something. I don't know, can miss a snap. I don't know, Steve. You know, I guess that's always been out there, but now you can bet a lot of money. You know, in the past you couldn't, right? You couldn't. No one's going to take your bet, Steve. You know, Vegas. I guess you could bet on sports in Vegas. Are there? I don't know. There's just so many betting houses and stuff. So
yeah, that's the thing. It's so convenient. And it's so easy.
I don't mind betting on a game. So
yeah, it's fine. Just, you got to do it responsibly, obviously, and have some fun with it. Not, you know, bet your mortgage on it. But it's and it's always been that way. It's always been an issue for leagues to be concerned about. And but now there's a direct affiliation. They're raking in gobs of money from the betting houses themselves. And so how can you not be kind of raising an eyebrow? And again, the way that they're marketing it now that it's part of programming, that's the biggest difference for me that's changed over the years. Cause I mean, big bets could always happen. We've seen gambling before. Pete Rose is still out of the Hall of Fame because of it, but it's worse now because it's part of programming,
right?
And because the leagues are getting so much advertising dough from them. And yeah, so it's changed the game for sure. And I'm sure we're going to see more of those Denver Broncos stories as we move forward. We need to move forward because you've got to get on with your, no, it's not Sudbury Saturday night. It's Sudbury Monday night. Must be really
Sudbury
dull.
Monday night, man.
Yeah. The boys aren't getting Stinko on Monday night.
No.
What are you doing on a Monday night in Sudbury?
I'm laying low, Steve. I'm doing a couple of life stories while I'm here. Okay. I don't know what I'll do, Steve. I'm here for a bit. I may blast over and see you next week. I don't know when I'm on the loose, Stevie.
You're on the lamb, probably.
I'm on the lamb. Yeah, I'm. I'm not quite on the lamb, but I'm on the loose. You know, I'm on the loose.
Okay. Well, I'm here
a little more. I got to get a little better, Steve. You know, like when I was telling guys shot 101, the guy's like, "Well, you must have just been pissing around out there." And I go, "Well, no, I was actually trying to hit golf shots.
Yeah, was
shanking." And Steve, you know, double hitting.
Oh yeah.
You know when you double hit?
Usually by the side of the green.
Yeah. You chunk, right? Five times I did it yesterday, Steve. Five times. Although my friend Jake eight putted.
What? How hard is this course?
It's not that hard. It's short. You know, eight putting, Stevie. You know?
Man,
yeah. Well, there's a great line, right? And the guy says, "How did you make 12 on that hole?" And he says, "I three putted."
Wow,
yeah, wow. Five times, Stevie, double hit the ball, chipping out of the bunker and stuff.
That's crazy.
So I got to practice before I come and kick your arse.
Oh, we should have a good game because if you're capable of being in triple figures. Then I don't remember the last time I was in triple figures. So
you might have to give me a shot, yeah, or two. Yeah.
I'd like to say thank you to all our great Patreon members who have remained with us, low these many moons. But the legends include Bill Grease, Henry Backer, Jimmy Fata, your old pal Jimmy Fata,
yeah,
Michael Pearson, G Money, Marcus Von B, Mark D, Matthew from Blackburn Hamlet. I'm going deeper. Bernsey 79, Kevin Waghorn, Martin Peddle, Randy Spence, Retro Mags Brian, who is the keeper of all the T-Gore sound clips from over the years. Retro Mags Brian could get, you know, the third member of T-Gore in a lot of trouble with all the audio clips that he has. I'm just throwing that out there, James. We're on podcast now. You can't catch us.
Yeah, we're good. We're covered. I got to send a letter to that guy. What's his name? I hope he's okay.
Yeah.
Be nice, man. Be nice.
Be very nice. Our website is stevewproject.com. Thank you for being with us. We invite you to join our Patreon membership to help keep this ship a-sailing. James, enjoy your time in Sudbury, and we'll talk to you later this week.
Good night, everybody.
We'll see you.